have to make a decision. Jesus had to make this decision with his cup as well. Matthew 26, verse 39 says this, and he went a little beyond them. Come on. It'll get there. And he went a little beyond them, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Come on. There we go. Oh, Lord. How many are familiar with this poem here, The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost? Here's what it says here. It says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood and looked down one as far as I could. To where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as far. And having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how my way leads on to way. I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. How many of you ever had this moment in your life where you had to make a decision? And the one side of the road, it looked a whole lot easier, and the other one looked a little bit dirtier, looked a little bit messier. You're probably going to have to clean out the path yourself. See, Jesus is right, this moment here in Matthew is right before he's taking on the cross. And he knows about what's ready to come, and he has a decision to make. He could take the easy way, and he could run away. He could call on the angels and bypass all of this. He has the authority to do so. But he prays and he asks, but not my will, but Lord, your will. And even us, we have decisions that we have to make. And sometimes we look at those decisions, and sometimes it's a whole lot easier to take the road where everybody else has gone down. It's already laid out for you. It's nice and smooth. They've cleaned out all the shrubs. Whenever I go deer hunting, I hate it whenever there's green brush. And you know what's in that green brush? Thorns. But you know what love to hide in them thorns? The deer. And so my dad, or even whenever I was real little, I used to be my dad's rabbit dog. I was his personal dog. And we'd go out rabbit hunting, and he'd go jump in that. There's a rabbit in there. No, that hurts. And this is what he'd say, but it's worth it when we get the rabbit. Is it really? Is the rabbit really worth it? I have a lab. She's a mix, but. So I told Jake, I said, hey, let's take Molly out. She's got lab and hound in her. That's great for hunting. I've never worked with her, but let's just go see what this girl can do out there in the woods. Man, she'd had her nose down to the ground just going all over the place. I'm getting excited. Jake and I both were like, oh, she's going to get us a rabbit. And then the weeds got too high. And she sat down and wouldn't do any more work. As long as the road was all cleared out for her, she was willing to go to town looking for a rabbit for us. But once the brush was too thick or the grass was too high, she proved that she's nothing more than a house dog. Matter of fact, I got so upset. This is grass, not brush, not thorns, grass. It was this high. I got mad. I picked her up, took her out in the middle of the field, and I sat her down in it. I left her. She sat down and howled. Until I came back to get her. I'm sitting there, come on, Molly, let's go. Whistling, smacking for her. It's grass, people. Oh, it was pitiful. We're walking back to the truck, and I looked at Jake, and I said, she's a house dog, nothing more. The only thing she's going to do is cost me money. She's never going to feed me. I get to feed her. But too many times, we've been like this in our own life. We have an opportunity to make a decision sometimes. And let's face it, the easy way is so much nicer. The easy way is so much nicer. Jesus has come to his crossroads where he has to decide to either do the will of the Father or spare his flesh the heartache and the pain. And we've all had those moments where we've had to decide whether to take the easy road or the hard road. And many times the road that God leads us down isn't always the easy way. But ultimately the decision is ours, just like it was Jesus' decision that day. He had a decision that he had to make. God gave all of mankind free will from the very beginning of the time with the garden, with the tree. And then he asked again in Joshua 24:15, it says this, if it be disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to make a determination. We can serve the gods in which the lands that we live in. Let's face it, the God that we serve is not the God in who the world serves. And we have to make a decision. Whose God are we going to serve? Even though we're living in this world, the Bible says that we are to live in this world, but not to be of this world. We're just strangers passing through. And everyone wants a crown, but in order to get your crown, you must first drink the cup. The cup always precedes the crown. This is an established kingdom principle. And God uses the adversity to develop us. See, God is more interested in developing your character than solving your problems. See, when we go to God and we pray about the situations in our life, we're looking for God to fix the situation, for fix the problem. Whenever God's sitting there saying, I want you to learn from this. There's something in you that I want to get out of you. I want you to learn something about yourself. He's more interested about developing your character than fixing your problem. See, we have two different mindsets compared to God. Your cup experience, when it's completed, it includes the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We must lay our wants, our desires on the cross and bury the old man so that the new man can live through us. How do you move through this cup experience? And Psalms 13 says this, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? How many of you ever prayed like that? A me, oh my, pity prayer? Listen to him. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? I've done it. God, I thought I was important to you. Well, apparently not. You got other things to deal with. How long shall I take counsel in my soul because you ain't doing nothing for me? How long is my enemy going to get the raises and not me? If I stepped on your toe, sorry. But then here in verse 3 it says, consider and answer me, O Lord, my God, enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This thing is pointless. First thing we must do, I'm done messing with that thing. Don't even worry about it, Dawn. First thing, we must acknowledge the affliction. If you notice here in verse 1 and verse 2, he's pointing out that there's an affliction, there's a problem. And you know what? It's okay. Sometimes we think because we're Christians, if there's something going wrong, that there's something wrong with us. And that's not always the case. Sometimes the enemy likes to attack us. And that's okay. That's okay. Acknowledge that there's affliction. There's no shame in fighting a battle. At least you're fighting it. Go fight the battle. There's no shame in facing seasons of wilderness, of loneliness. In the first two verses, he brings his complaints. The second thing he does, though, is he prays about it. The next two verses, he prayed about the affliction. In verse 3, he says, enlighten my eyes. In other words, quit looking at the person as the problem. Sometimes, instead of us looking within, we look without. And we look at the world as the problem, and sometimes it's us. I know it's crazy. As perfect as I am, sometimes I have an issue. Every time I think I have it, he goes and messes it up. We just can't ask God to rid us of the situation or the problem. But what is it that we can learn about the problem or the situation in ourselves? You know, how many of you are familiar with life lessons where you've learned something about yourself? You had to fight the battle, but whenever you came out, you didn't know you had that within you. Anthony is, or y'all seen him? He's a runt. All right, he's a scrawny little runt. He's not exactly a tough guy by any means. My wife keeps on saying he's mine. Sometimes I wonder. A kid doesn't like anything as far as food. There's nothing that I don't like. You know, we'll sit down to eat, and he's eating because he has to, not because he wants to. I'm eating because I love it, you know. This season was a real struggle for him with baseball. And he started at the top of the order, and about midway through the season, we had to move him all the way to the bottom. And it killed him. And we came home. He's like, why'd you move me all the way to the bottom? I pulled out the stats. But I wanted to see something. Can he fight back and make his way back up to the top of it, or is he going to quit? And to be honest with you, here's what I thought. He was going to quit. he's not a fighter. So the next day, I get up, I go downstairs, I'm there drinking my coffee, watching TV. He comes down the steps, he eats his breakfast, and he goes outside. I didn't think anything of it. A little bit later, I go to the back to the kitchen, and I look out the kitchen, and there he is. He's got his net set up, he's got his tee set up, and he's out there hitting. And I went outside, I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I ain't going to stay at 9 forever. I'm going back up to the top 5. I was like, "Okay." He goes, "I'll be in a minute to get you so you can do some soft toss with me." Okay. Went out there, did the soft toss. Next day comes around, the boy's out there doing the same thing. Same thing. Every day. Slowly, we started moving him back up the lineup because he started hitting the ball again. And after the season was over with, he looks at me, he said, "This was not my best season with my stats." I said, "No, definitely wasn't." He goes, "But I learned something about me." I said, "Oh, yeah? What's that?" He goes, "You can't tell me no." See, there's always those things in life that we find out things about ourselves. You know, if somebody would have told me, well, here's what I told my wife. When her and I are dating, I made a promise. Now, you don't make any promises that you can't keep. I'm telling you that right now. This is exactly what I told Kayla. We had only been dating for maybe a month. And I looked at her and I said this: "I believe God's called me into ministry." She goes, "Well, I know that." I said, "But I'm going to make a promise to you right now." She goes, "What's that?" I said, "I'll never pastor." What a fool. And she said, "Well, good." But I've learned something about myself in these few years. See, we think we have it all figured out, but then we have decisions that we have to make. If you would have told me 10 years ago, 12 years ago, you're going to quit your job where you get a paycheck and health insurance and a retirement to go and be an associate pastor for nothing, I probably would have said, "That doesn't make any sense." But see, I had a decision I had to make. I could either rely on man or I could rely on God. See, we all have this. And you know what? The easier decision, the decision that would make the most sense, would be to stay at that place. That makes sense. You get a paycheck every 2 weeks. How many like that? Yes. It's on time every time. It shows up every 2 weeks just like it's supposed to. It never wavers. It's there every time. And if the paycheck is wrong, you can go and you can make one little simple trip up the steps. You can tell them where they messed up, and they go and cut you another one, no questions asked. Makes sense to me. Oh, then not only that, then they give you health insurance. How many like health insurance? You know what? Kayla has health insurance. It's a lot more expensive than what I had. It is expensive. I didn't know how expensive it was. It's expensive. Oh, then there's this thing called a cable bill. Yeah. I didn't know y'all paid for that. I just thought it was a free service that I just showed up for every week, you know? That's how they stay in business. You all were paying for it. Oh, then there's internet. Because, you know, God forbid if you don't have that in your house. I could probably get rid of the TV and the kids wouldn't care. I get rid of the internet, there would be a riot. My son knows how to operate a gun. He would probably take me out. That commercial where they show those that family a minute after the internet goes out, y'all seen that commercial? That ain't no lie. I've been to those homes where they're like trying to figure out what to do. What's a board game? You know? Yeah, what's it mean to read? Yeah, I read Facebook. This is my book. Oh. But many times we face the same problem over and over again because we never look at us as being the problem. You know, sometimes it is me. Sometimes. Sometimes it's my wife. I like to think it's all the time it's her. Sometimes it's my kids. If I could convince them, it is. Anthony and I were arguing one time, and I looked at him. I said, kid, you may be smart for a 10-year-old, but I am 36. I think I have a few years on you, and I might be a little bit smarter. Wouldn't you know that little rotten turkey was right? And here's what I heard. And what'd you say about you being smarter? I looked at him and said, I could still ground you. But we need to pray about the situation. You know, too often we just get into praying about the person and how that they are causing this situation and causing this problem. You know, maybe it's just something God wants us to learn out of it. Maybe there's something that about that person that just brings out the worst in us sometimes. Well, why is it? Why is it that person, what is it about them that brings out the worst in us? There's something that we can learn about ourselves. Third thing, you can praise him for the answer even before you see it. The next two verses, he praised him for his mercy. We must have in faith his loving kindness and rejoice in our salvation and praise him because he has dealt an abundance of blessing to me that I did not deserve. I have done nothing in my life to deserve anything that I have. God has blessed me because he loves me. And that's what he does in those last two verses. Go back, if you would, to the verse there. It's back to Psalms. No? There it is. Look at these last two verses. But I have entrusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. He has blessed us even whenever we don't realize it. We take our blessings for granted sometimes. And sometimes he has to knock us down a few pegs so we realize just how blessed we really are. You know, we take our spouse for granted. We take our kids for granted. We take the house that we live in for granted. We take the job that we have for granted. We take our health for granted. You know, whenever my wife had to walk me everywhere I went for a few weeks because I couldn't open up my eyes because everything was dizzy, it humbled me. Those things that I took for granted. The simple thing of walking. Never had an issue walking. All of a sudden, can't walk. Couldn't even stand up to use the restroom. That's a humbling moment. And the whole time, after I got out of the whole oh me, oh my pity party, like David's having here, after I got out of that moment, I just started thanking him because I realized just how blessed I really was. You know, I have two kids that are perfectly healthy. Not everybody can say that in this world. I took my kids to a water park yesterday, and they had fun. Not everybody can say that. Not everybody can do that with their kids. I keep on trying to remind my kids all the time just how blessed they really are. I said, you realize you guys are 9 and 10 years old now? I said, I never left the state of Ohio until I was a freshman in high school. I said, you guys realize how blessed you are? You guys have been to more states in your 10 years than I was in my first 30. I'll go make spaghetti, and Anthony hates it whenever we make pasta. Just absolutely hates it. I'm like, boy, that's what we ate 4 nights a week. Sometimes we got fresh sauce poured all over it. We take those things for granted. When's the last time you can honestly say you just thank God for no other reason but just because you're blessed? When's the last time you got up in the morning and after you was done groaning because everything was stiff and sore, that you just started thanking God because you got up? We got a new mattress this week. Hallelujah, praise God, bless God. You know when you're getting a little bit older whenever you thank God for a new mattress. I never remember having a new one, but man, I was so happy to finally have a new one in my life. It showed up Wednesday and Thursday morning. I got up and said, thank you, Jesus. It was so good to sleep. But you know, there's so many people today that they ain't going on my old mattress. They are not going to sleep. I got up every morning griping and complaining about how bad it hurt to get up because that old mattress I had was a piece of junk. God checked me a few weeks ago because I was complaining about what? An old mattress. I'm looking at my wife complaining about an old mattress. Really? That was my big deal for the day? When's the last time you just got up in the morning and you just started thanking him? When's the last time whenever that person started irritating you at work, instead of wondering how you could lay hands on them suddenly and be spiritual about the whole situation, you just started thanking God because of the job you have. I'm going to close here with a few things here. I remember my dad telling me a story a few years ago while he was working at Colfor, which is out in Minerva. And he had a boss that absolutely hated him for one reason. He was a preacher. And his number one goal was to see if he could get the preacher to cuss. If he could get the preacher to cuss, he was happy. So my dad decided that he was going to either make sure this guy got promoted so high that he had to leave him alone, or my dad was going to make his life so miserable because of how well he treated him. My mom loves to bake. My grandma was Amish, so we like to eat that food, okay? And so he would have my mom bake pies a couple days a week. And he would take a pie to this man that hated him. He would go and work through his lunch just so that guy's numbers would be better for him at the end of the shift. He wanted to make sure this guy that hated him, his numbers were good. If a machine broke down, my dad would go and fix the machine for this guy that hated him. Well, eventually what ended up happening is my dad got his job and they fired him. But his goal was to make this guy look good. And right before the guy got fired, he looked at my dad and he said, "Why are you doing this? I've made your life miserable." He goes, "Yeah, but I'm making money in the meantime. I got a job every day that I come to. Proved a point. You can't get rid of me." A few weeks later, the company got rid of him. So are you blessing those who despitefully use you? That's what the Bible says to do. Psalms 94, 18 through 23 says, "If I should say my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul." How many of you have ever been anxious? Anxious thoughts. "Your consolations, though, delight my soul. Can a throne of destruction be allied with you? One which devises mischief by decree. They band themselves together against the life of righteousness and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has been my stronghold." No matter what somebody might say to you, Sally, you can say this, "But the Lord has been my stronghold." Mike, no matter how much those grandkids drive you crazy, you can look at them and say, "And my God is the rock of my refuge. He has brought back their wickedness upon them." Now, here's one thing I like to use against the devil. Now, some of you might say God or Father. I call him Dad because I got a personal relationship with him. And this is what I like to bring up to the devil every once in a while. With this verse here, he says, "He has brought back their wickedness upon them and will destroy them in their evil." Here's what I like to remind the devil. My daddy's going to get you for that one. You let somebody mess with my kids, they know all they have to do is go and get Dad. Because Daddy will get them for that one. And I don't mind reminding the devil every once in a while who exactly my dad is. My dad's the one that spoke it all into existence. My dad's the one that got down and created man. My dad's the one that got down and he breathed the breath of life in the man's nostrils. My dad's the one that went and created all the hills. My dad's the one who cured every disease. My dad's the one that looked at a grave and said, "Lazarus, come forth." My dad's the one that sat up on a cross and 3 days later rose from a grave. I don't mind reminding the devil just exactly who my dad is. Because the Bible says the Lord our God will destroy them. Do we really truly understand who it is that we say we serve? Do we truly understand who it is that we have on our side? If we do, we'll get out of this whole pity party state that we're in. I know, and we got the convention that's coming up this week with the Republican convention. And you know what? Some of you may like him. Some of you may not. Some of you may not care. Some of you may not like her. Some of you may not care. Guess what? My daddy already knows the end result. He's already done, spoke it all into existence. So it doesn't really matter what any of us think. My dad's got it all under control. He hasn't called Dick Goddard in years for a weather report to know what's coming. He already knows what the weather's going to be like for you. He already knows what the storms in your life are going to look like. He knows how you're going to get through the situation. He's already made a way for you to get through it all. He's already made the way. An old preacher said one time, I don't care if there's a drought. If there's only but one tater on the hill, God's people are going to get the tater. And that's the truth. Stand with me, let's pray.